Good morning to all of you, brothers and sisters. It is indeed my great joy and privilege to be here this morning to worship with you and to share with you the Word of God. Let's bow our heads and pray together. Heavenly Father, we do ask that your Spirit be with us right now and speak to us. Quicken our mind, Lord, that we may understand, that we may also be obedient to you. We ask that you guide us and lead us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, first of all, let me express our sincere appreciation and thanks to all of you for your partnership and support for Ruth Wong. Also, very soon for Pastor Wong and Emily, and as well as Peter and Wing. I'm so glad that I was able to meet Peter and Wing yesterday also. In fact, I knew about their joining only a few days ago, because originally they actually applied through SIM USA, but now they have decided to transfer the membership to SIM East Asia, and that's how I was involved. This is a beautiful city. I wish my family members are with me. Unfortunately, they are not, so I bring the photograph of my family to show you and send greetings to all of you. I have two daughters and a son. 29, 27, and 25. My son was graduated from Oklahoma University 3 years ago. Well, we also have a pet, and the pet will say hello to you too. This is a stuffed toy, a penguin actually. We don't have time to really wear a pet, so my children take this as our pet. My topic this morning is participating in an unfinished task. What is the task? And I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, the Great Commission that our Lord Jesus has given us. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And surely I'll be with you till the very end of the age." This is the task that our Lord Jesus has entrusted us 2,000 years ago. Go and make disciples of all nations. We are able to do that because Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him." So when we went, when we go out to make disciples of all nations, it is on the pretext that the authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. And therefore, we go in his power, in his strength, and in his name. And our Lord Jesus promised that he will be with us till the very end of the age. This is about what? What is the task? But how to do it? In fact, it is in the Bible too. John chapter 20, verse 21 tell us how it should be done. The day that Jesus resurrected from death, he suddenly appeared to the disciples and said, "Peace be with you." And he showed them his hand and the side. And he said again, "Peace be with you. As my Father has sent me, I'm sending you." Did Jesus really say, how did the Father send him there? Not really in the text. But if you were to imagine you were there the night, you could understand what Jesus was saying from his body language. He showed them his hand at the side and said, "As my Father has sent me, I'm sending you." How did the Father send Jesus? This is the way. God incarnate. From God become human being. Living with the people. Eating the food they eat. Wearing the clothing that they wear. Living the lives with them. I think likewise today, Jesus wants us to be missionary incarnate. To go and live among the people. Speak the language, eat their food, and live within the context of the people that we want to share the good news with, and share with them what it meant to be a Christian, how it is like to live a life that is reconciled to God. And that is how. If you look at the whole Bible, and if you look at the life of Jesus, you realize that the holistic mission actually involves three things. I will just mention them, but I don't have time to go into detail. First of all, it must involve the declaration of salvation. In all the good works that we may be doing, we may be engaging with as mission, you must always declare the salvation of Christ Jesus. Secondly, we realize that Jesus actually cares for the whole being of a person. It's not just about spiritual, it's actually also about the physical, the mental, the total well-being of a person. And thirdly, actually the care for the whole society. And I believe the holistic mission actually deals with not just being saved from things and condemnation, but also we must care for the whole being of the person and care for the whole society. That includes the economics, the justice, as well as the politics, whatever you mention it, and even including the environmental protection. The purpose of mission is to make sure that people will get to know God. They are reconciled to God. And in this process, our lives are transformed. And through the transformation of our inner lives, our lives are also be changed. And in the whole process, we glorify God's name. Now this is something that many of us have experienced. And I can share with you my personal testimony. When I was about 15 years old, although I was not a believer, my mother used to bring me to the church. But I always, disturb the girl next door and not listening to the pastor or the Sunday school teacher. And once I asked my mom, "Where is God? Show it to me, then I will believe him." Not until one day, I was curious about this black book, and I took it and read it. Matthew, Mark, Luke. By the time I read up to Luke, somehow, I now understand why. At that time, I didn't know why. I was in tears. And I just realized that I was a sinner. And Jesus Christ really is my Savior. And there is no other Savior except Christ Jesus. I have a completely changed life. I really experienced what it meant to be born again. And our relatives and our neighbors were very shocked to see this boy who was so naughty before, always cursing and swearing, quarreling with the mother, not wanting to help the mom. Now, he turned to become a good boy. No more bad words from him. He would help the mother every day, carrying the water, cutting the firewood. You know, I was from the village, countryside. I need to feed the duck and chicken and pigs and whatnot, And I did it willingly because my life was just changed. I loved my mother from that day onwards. And I didn't know why. There was that power from the Holy Spirit. Changed life in Christ Jesus. And that is mission, really. When you share with people about Jesus Christ, about the love of God, when the life is being touched, it's a transformed life. It's completely different. But if you look at the current status of Christian faith, Christ has resurrected for more than 2,000 years now. I always wonder, why are there so few believers? If this gospel is so real, it is so powerful, it changed my life completely, why is it that not so many people have actually accepted this faith? It bothered me. 1/3 of the world population claim to be Christians, but actually only about 10% are evangelical Christians, because many of the 1/3 of the population, they themselves claim they could be of certain cults or sects. They are all included. But those who really believe in the teaching of the Bible, perhaps only about 0.7 million, which is 10%. Why so few believers? I think I like to quote what Gandhi said. He said, "I love your Christ, I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. I feel maybe this is the root problem of us today. Why so few people are willing to come to the Lord? That is because Christians have not really lived up to what Christ has taught us. We are not true disciples of Christ Jesus. We are believers. Yes, it is like buying an insurance. Praise God, when I die, I will go to heaven. It's a wonderful insurance, but it has very little to do with your life. It has not really changed your life. And therefore, for the last 10 over years, FIM has been emphasizing a lot on discipleship. And it is so important that we just don't convert people to believe in Jesus, but more so, that they will obey everything that Jesus has taught us. And that is discipleship. If we look at the status of missions today, there are about 16,000 ethnic groups worldwide, and only 9,100 of them have a church that could actually witness to them. And the remaining 6,009 are really unreached people groups. This is from Ralph Inter, the Mission Center of USA. Now, if these people do not have someone to come to them and share with them the good news, how do you think they will ever hear about Jesus? How do you think their lives can ever be changed as what I have experienced myself? And therefore, I think God is calling out to Christians today, maybe to some of you today, that someone need to be willing to say, here I am, I want to go. As I said earlier, the world population, two-thirds of them, about 4.7 billion, they are not Christians. If you divide that with the number of evangelical missionaries, you realize that the ratio is actually frightening. 300,000 evangelical Christian missionaries involved with cross-border missions. If you divide that with 4.7 billion people, it's a ratio of 1 to 15,600. That would mean that a missionary, theoretically, has to reach up to 15,600 people, isn't it? Can that be done? When I read about this figure from the Operation World, I asked God, why God? We have so many Christians. We are so busy with our church activities. We work so hard for all sort of programs. Why is it that so few people are willing to put down our little ambition and allow God to use us in another place to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ? God needs more missionaries. The whole world needs more missionaries. So that they can hear the good news of Jesus. Are we willing to allow God to speak to us? We know very well, in the last 200-300 years of missions, actually we have made very little impact on Islam, Hinduism, the Buddhism, even Taoism. Of course, Taoism is very much confined to the Chinese. According to the previous version of Operation World, in the last 50 years, the Christian population doubled from 0.6 billion to 1.2 billion. But the Muslim population increased by six times from 200 million, that is 0.2 billion, to 1.2 billion. Of course, there are reasons why this huge growth, including political reasons, etc. But if this trend were to increase in about 15-20 years' time, there will be more Muslims than Christians in this world. So, do you feel that there is something that we ought to be concerned about? Something we ought to pray about? And maybe we need to add on this statistics that we have heard. Well, you may say that all these are very far away. It has got very little to do with me. Let me ask you then, what about your family members, your relatives, your friends, Are they all saved? Are they all Christians? I doubt anybody will be able to put out a hand, not including me. If you are able to put out your hand to say, yes, they are all Christians, I think you must have come from the monastery. Because only in the monastery that you are confined, you know, to all the Christians together. Otherwise, you must be somewhere from the world. Why participate in the Great Commission apart from the task that is unfinished? I believe there are many other compelling reasons why we should participate in His mission. Let me briefly mention a few. This is God's heartbeat. John 3:16 told us, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." Very important to remember verse 17 also. Jesus came not to judge the world, but He has come so that He can save the world. But unless we go and share about this wonderful good news, how will people know about this? I have been involved with personal evangelism all this while, and I can tell you, many people are actually searching for truth. Many people are dying to know about salvation of Christ Jesus. If only we dare to open our mouth and share with them. I can tell you, and I can share with you one of the testimonies later on, about one brother, how he came to know the Lord. And because somebody was willing to tell him about Jesus. God loves the sinners. We all know this very well. And He sent Jonah to Nineveh. Of course, Jonah thought he shouldn't go because the Ninevites were really rotten, evil people. They were very cruel. Let them die. They deserve to die. But God thought otherwise. He loved those who are in sin too. After the 9/11, I have a senior bank manager from Singapore coming to see me. He said, "Brother Stanley, the only way to stop these people from putting bombs on the body and kill others and kill themselves or drive a car into a building to kill people would be to share with them the good news of Jesus." He said, "That's the only way." So he says, "I've been thinking and praying about this for the last couple of years, and now I make up my mind. I want to go right into the midst of these people. Can you please send me there?" By God's grace, we worked very hard for him. Within 3 months, we sent the whole family, a wife and 2 children, right into somewhere in the Arab-speaking country. And he is there for 7 years now. It was tough going, but he has been developing very meaningful relationships with some of the people. And some of them are really hungry for God, hungry for salvation from Christ Jesus. If any religion or other philosophy could save people from condemnation, I think we can leave them to do the proclamation of their faith. But we all know very well, salvation comes only from Jesus. At 4:12, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. I truly believe that there is only one salvation. That is in Christ Jesus. And I believe you will say amen to that too. If it is the case, then we must make Jesus known to other people. Last July, I was in Sabah, a state of Malaysia, in a city called Kota Kinabalu, short form KK. And I met this man, not so young, 60 over years old. He is actually a businessman. And he shared with me about his testimony in tears and in cheers also. 2.5 hours. He told me, for 37 years, he had been involved with Buddhism, and every day he spent 4 hours to do his meditation. He said, "I found no peace and no salvation until he found Jesus." I said, "Come on, how can you afford 4 hours a day to do meditation? Don't you have to, you know, work and make a living?" He said, oh, I'm the boss of a property development company. I buy land and I develop the building and just sell them. And the managers do all the work, so I have all my time by myself. His son went to New Zealand for further study. And over there he became a Christian. The son came back happily and told the dad, Daddy, Daddy, you must believe in Jesus. The son got a scolding from him. You stupid fellow. You are cheated by the Westerner. You know, this is a Western religion. Why go and believe in a Western religion? So the son couldn't do anything, but he left the Bible at home. This man, one day, out of curiosity, took the Bible and read it. And he told me, as I read the Bible, he said, I didn't know why my tears keep on flowing. And I suddenly realized that for 37 years, the peace and the salvation that I was looking for, it's actually in the Bible. It is Jesus. Without anybody helping him, he said, I knelt down and prayed and asked God, please come and be my Savior. Save me. Help me. Isn't that wonderful? He's still alive, of course. And I took his photo. We were in a coffee shop. And he shared with me his testimony. It was so touching. You know what? He said that the Bible is so important. And he looked around and checked around and heard somebody telling him about the Gideons, you know, international. These are the people who distribute the Bible to hospitals, to hotels, etc. So he immediately joined them. And he bought a huge truck. Every year, he distributed tens of thousands of Bibles all over Malaysia. And because he liked Gideon so much, he called himself Gideon also. His name is called Gideon Chong. And his house outside, he put there, Gideon Residence. Praise God. The power of the gospel is so real. And that is only in Christ Jesus we find salvation. And this man has tried for 37 years, Buddhism, meditation 4 hours a day. Who else can beat him? No peace, no joy, no salvation. The power of Holy Spirit. The Bible told us that the Holy Spirit will convict in regard to sins and righteousness. And it is so true. We experience it. And I want to share with you the impact of the gospel through the work of Holy Spirit in a huge community. Recently I went to Northeast India and I visited a group of people called Mara people. They are in the northeastern part of India. Now 104 years ago, they lived in darkness. They were actually headhunters. A British missionary by the name of Reverend Loray started mission work there. I thank God he was not eaten up. Neither was he killed. Now, 90% of them are Christians. And I was just amazed to be in this place. It was like going to a heaven, really. I went to a city, a town with about 50,000 people. I can sense the presence of God there. You know, people are so polite. They are so loving and caring. Even the driver, he was so gentle. He was so careful. At times, he would even stop the car, reverse the car a bit, allow another car to drive through, you know. I was just amazed. And because of love of God, this is 104 years ago, and this is who they are now today. Completely changed. 104 years ago, they don't have clothing, you know, they were tribal wars. People kill each other. But now, they are sitting down, drinking tea, and praying together, and talking about how to evangelize the world. And that is what the gospel has done to them. The town is on a hill, and they don't have much land, so each day they can afford only 2 meals. All the sisters there are very slim. If you want to be slim, I will send you there to be a missionary. For 4 months, I think, you don't have to pay anybody money for slimming program. You will come back very slim. Beautiful, and smiling, and cheerful. We went to a school run by a church. The students are boarders. 12 of them to a room. Very simple outfit, but they are so happy and so joyful. They were singing songs, and when we arrived, they sing praises to God and asked us to join in. So we preached at night in the church, There are 200 churches in the town. 50,000. 200 churches. But we can only be one church. So actually they have to televise the sermon at night. And people watch them and listen to the sermon, you know. Surprisingly, the next day we walk down the street, they treated us like stars, asking us to autograph, you know. I felt so strange for the first time. Well, you can see, I'm so much taller than the local pastors. The pastor who received me told me, Stanley, it was good that you come now. If it was 100 years ago, we would have selected you for cooking curry. They were very good in singing. This is the night meeting that we had. And during the 100th anniversary, they renovated the church. And actually, the governor of the province ordered a huge cross to be established on top of the highest point of the mountain in remembrance of the coming of the gospel. Because he said, if it is not for Jesus Christ, we will have disappeared from earth. Because we kill each other, you know, and we do all sorts of stupid things. Praise God, the power of the gospel. And that's why we need to share the good news of Jesus. That's why we need to be involved in mission. I must tell you about this old lady. She was a church deaconess before, 80 years old at that time when I saw her. She said, Brother Stanley, I have nothing, but I have children. I gave my eldest son to be a missionary. And this is his eldest son, Layu Fachan. He has been our director for SIM Sudan for many years. Now he is director for Northeast India SIM. And the night the old lady said, I have another son, my third son, will also join SIM soon. Praise the Lord. He joined and he's now serving in Bhutan. Within 1.5 years, he and another brother, they led more than 20 people to the Lord and baptized them. They set up a church also. Just 2 years. Praise God. Well, what do you have, brothers and sisters? Do you have something to give to God? Or if you can say, as the lady said, I have nothing to give to God, then let me ask you, are you willing to give yourself to God? Are you willing to give your children to God so that they can be used by God? God invites us to join in the mission. Abraham was called to serve God. Well, it could be seen that he is asked to emigrate to greener pasture. But God also has a hidden agenda. God wants Abraham to be a blessing to all the nations. We all are familiar with this. Why did God save you? He wanted to bless you. That is true. Yes, I've experienced so much blessing from God. We are given abundant life. And we have eternal life in Christ Jesus. But don't forget, he also wanted us to be a blessing to other people. How can we be a blessing to others? I think in proclaiming the good news to them, sharing with them the love of God, that's the most practical way and most important way. The three founders of Sudan Interior Mission, they went to Africa because they wanted to be a blessing to the people there. In fact, they joined mission agency, they wanted to join mission agency, but none of them was prepared to accept them because they say it was just too dangerous. You're going there to die. What for? Malaria has no cure at that time. So anyhow, they thought they must obey God. They set up their own mission agency, which is Sudan Interior Mission. And they sent themselves. But Mrs. Govan, the mother of Walter Govan, was a prayer warrior. And she was the one who helped, like the, you know, the support base. She raised funds for them. And within 1 year, two of them died of malaria in Nigeria. And Bingham was left to continue the ministry. Now, we have the SIM with 1,600 missionaries serving in 50 countries among 336 people groups. Because of the obedience of three young men, we have such a huge ministry today. If these three young men were not willing to go, or they didn't go because no agency was willing to accept them, I think we will not see such an agency around today. And SIM actually had about 13 million so-called Christians or church members who are affiliated to our churches all over the world. So imagine the impact of the three persons' obedience. Millions of people are blessed as a result of that. 2 Corinthians 5:20 told us that we are Christ's ambassadors. And as ambassadors, I think we have to be ambassadors all the time. It cannot be just on Sunday. All the time. And therefore today I want you to reflect on our own lives. Have we been living all the time as the ambassador of Christ? At home, at work, in church even, sometimes. Do we really live like one that can reflect the glory of God, reflect the love of God, reflect the fragrance of Christ? If we all can do that, I think it will be easier for us to bring gospel and evangelize our relatives and our family members. Why? No action talk only. I call it NATO. Many people are moved after hearing the preaching, but very few actually took any action. I think maybe the price is too high. It could also be our value system. We are basically chasing after material things. Materialism has actually been a huge challenge to Christian faith, I believe. Not communism, not any other thing, but materialism and the secularism really is a huge challenge to us. The key to let go, I think, will be in a word called obedience. If you look at the first missionary on earth, that is Abraham, you realize that Abraham obeyed. The Lord said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. What did Abraham do? He just obeyed and go. Hebrews 11:8 says something very significant. It says, by faith, Abraham, when told to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. Even though he did not know where he was going. Even though he did not know where he was going. That is faith. That is faith. And that is obedience. If God were to call you today, are you willing to go even though you still have a lot of questions you have not been able to God to get answers? Very often, obeying God is like driving a car, you know? When we don't have the car with power steering, it's always very hard to steer the wheel if the car is stationary. But if the car were to just move a little bit, it is so easy to steer the wheel around. Likewise, when we obey God, step up with a little faith, the next step will be very clear to you. And I experienced that myself too, when I gave my life to Christ for full-time ministry. I just step out in faith, then things just happen. God just led me step by step. It was so clear, and there was no mistake. Around about 1998, I started to hear the calling from God. And I felt God was calling me. I need to respond and give up my job. I was then a CEO of a company, chemical company. I'm training chemistry. I have a PhD in chemistry, actually. But it was so difficult. I calculated how much money I would lose for not being a CEO for X number of years. I was only 45 years old. That means I have 20 more years to go if I retire at 65. You know, we are calculating in millions of dollars. It was tough, you know. I struggled and struggled. God keep on reminding me. He was like a nagging mother, you know. Keep on nagging at my ear. Son, do you really love me? If you love me, will you do this for me? Why don't you give up all this job and come to serve me full time? By God's grace, after 2 years of struggle, I finally learned the lesson. And I begin to realize obedience is what? You know, if you look at the word English word, obedience is very good, you know. In the middle of obedience is die. Do you realize that? In the middle of die is I. That's it. God, obedience means to die to myself. Sorry. There is obedience. I must die to myself. I have too much plan of my own, goals of my own, you know. I wanted to be a chairman of a listed company. I wanted to start a company and make millions of dollars and things like that. The moment I let go of my own, it was so easy to obey God. Really. Obedience is to die to ourselves. And how can we obey? We need trust. Without trust, you can't obey. What is trust? I show here a picture of a tightrope walker in a circus, you know. There are people who can walk across a tightrope with a balancing rod. Before his performance, he asked the audience, "Do you believe that I can walk across the tightrope without falling down?" What do you think was the answer? "Yes, of course, you could do that. You do that every day. You are an expert." Then he asked the second question. "Since you all believe that, would somebody be willing to come out and let me carry you and we go across the tightrope?" Anybody say yes? Everybody looked down on the floor. But then a little boy of 12-year-old came, and that was his son. The son trusted the father completely that he could carry him across the tightrope. So he went across without falling down at all. Don't you think sometimes we are like the audience? We say, "God, I believe in you. I know you will provide all my needs, you know." But in reality, deep in our heart, you are striving around the head, you know. You want to try to do this, try to do that, and you try to grab this, try to grab that. I can share with you, brothers and sisters, if you really trust in God, He will indeed take care of you. He will indeed plan everything for you. If only we are willing. But you need faith. And faith will lead you to obedience. And obedience will mean you have to make sacrifice. Because of time, I have to stop here. I have a few more slides. Let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for this morning. Lord, we ask that we may examine our hearts to see where we stand. God, we really trust you. Are we really willing to obey you? Help us, Father, that we may learn how to die to ourselves. Be with this church, that it may continue to grow, to be a church of mission, a church that brings blessing to the communities and indeed to the whole world. We praise you and thank you for the wonderful ministry and works they have been doing through the missionaries that they are supporting. And we thank them and praise you, Lord, for the partnership with SIM2. May you continue to bless them, continue to guide them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.